Hey, we are live! It's a good thing I didn't tell Nishan any secrets. My name is John Mancini. I'm the president of AIM, and I'll tell you a little bit about AIM in a second. But Nishan is on my board of directors, and so technically Nishan is my boss. And so be kind in your evaluations, you know, because they will come back around, and I will have to answer for all of this. So what I thought I would do is start off with just my biases from two perspectives. One from the perspective of the organization that I represent, and then also personally. So in terms of the organization I represent, I come from AIM, which is the Association for Information and Image Management. This little full report, download the full report, is something that we put together. I'll talk on some of this data during the course of the presentation, but this, if you want the whole thing, you just go to that link and you can download it. I think they make you give your name and address, but that's about it. And I think you'll find it really interesting, and I would urge you to take a look at it. So, but let me tell you a little bit about AIM, just so you know who we are. We have been around, believe it or not, since 1943. So the first question that people usually ask is, well, certainly there was no content management in 1943. Who the hell were you back then? And so we started life as the National Microfilm Association. And so in the intervening years, we have followed the technology, and we've gone from film to image to documents to web-based documents to web content and increasingly social content. But the connecting tissue, if you will, and this is probably important to think about in terms of the bias of some of the things that I'll talk about today. The connecting tissue on all this is two things. One is its process, and second, unstructured content or information, and how the two connect with each other. So while the technologies have changed, you know, really even back in the microfilm era, this was all about the question of how do you deal with content in the context of business processes in a way that's more accountable, in a way that's more audible, in a way that's more findable, all those kinds of things. So that's our bias. We do a host of things in the marketplace. We have a series of roadshows that will be running in the spring and the fall, probably in your city, around some of these issues that I'll talk about here today. You might want to keep an eye out for that. We also have a big conference coming up, which is in Orlando on the 1st through the 3rd of April. And if you haven't taken a look at that and you want to think about these issues in the context in which I will talk about them today, it'd be a good place to come. And so that's aimconference.com, two I's, aimconference.com. So let me tell you my biases in this, just so you know who I am. First of all, I am probably the unusual person in this crowd here today. I am not a technical person. I love technology. I've been in technology organizations for an awful long time. But I am not a technical person. So if you are looking for technical advice about SharePoint and how it relates to information management and information governance, you're probably in the wrong place. I am also, at some risk with my board member here, I am not a SharePoint fanboy. You know, my job is not to recommend SharePoint. My job is to help end users understand the information management challenges that they face and how the various tools, including SharePoint, that are out there can be used to solve the issues that they encounter. So I am a business person. And I think that was the thrust that I wanted to give this session here today, is what I wanted to do, if you are an end user, what I'd like to do is give you some things to think about in terms of how you sell this stuff internally. You know, what does the C-suite care about? You know, how can you position these solutions in a way that's different from the way that we've sold them in the past? Because the buy is changing. The buy is changing very, very quickly. If you believe in Gartner, by the end of this decade, 90% of technology buys will be by the business, not by IT. That's a challenge in the SharePoint community because a lot of the buy for SharePoint is being done in the IT community, not the business community. And one of my objectives in this session and for AIM moving forward is to help business people understand the issues associated with SharePoint and with other content management solutions and how they can be relevant to the business problems that they face. So give you a different way of thinking about it. If you're in the channel, if you're a partner, if you're a systems integrator, if you're somebody who develops third-party solutions on top of SharePoint, what I would like to do is give you some ideas about how you sell this stuff more strategically. Because the days of being able to sell this purely as a technical buy and purely as a technology buy, I think are coming to an end. And we have got to figure out how we portray these solutions through a business prism rather than through a technology prism. So as you think about this, what I want to do is talk about four things. And I was thinking about this as I was listening to Bill Clinton's keynote the other day. And we really are in a very, very interesting time. Bill Clinton talked about the inequality of out in the world these days. He talked about the unsustainability of many of the ways in which we manage things. He talked about the instability of how we manage many things. And as I think about that, that has a relationship to how we think about technology in our organizations. Because in the 20, 25 years that I've been involved in enterprise IT solutions and systems, I don't think I've ever been at a point where things have seemed to be at a greater point of upheaval than they are right now. You know, we are at one of those very weird inflection points. I think Bill was talking about this in his keynote. It's a weird inflection point where it's kind of a wilderness moment, where I think a lot of people are looking at where they are, and they're not really comfortable with where they are, and yet they don't really have a sense of where it is they're trying to go. And that's pretty much true for SharePoint these days, you know, when you think about it. When you think about why people deployed these solutions in the first place, we are clearly at an inflection point in terms of organizations thinking about SharePoint as a platform for building beyond a file share replacement. And that's, I think, the big challenge that's out there. And that's, I think, what the channel really has to help us be much more effectively in terms of selling these solutions within our organizations. So as I think about this, I want to talk about these four things. I want to talk about information chaos. It's my belief that I think this is the central business challenge that we have before us. Talk about why this occurred. Give you a little data set of where people are right now in their SharePoint implementations. So maybe if you're feeling a little frustrated, you're feeling like, oh my gosh, there are so many whiz-bang things people are talking about at this conference and we're not doing half of these things, make you understand that you are not alone. Survey of 600 end users and where they are, give you a little benchmarking expertise that you can take back into your organization, and then maybe think a little bit about how we position all of this moving forward in terms of selling these solutions in our organizations. And so as you think about this, you know, we are at a rather interesting place right now in which it's pretty generally acknowledged that information is the world's new currency. So we are at a time of incredible opportunity for people like you and people like me that dabble in all this. And it was actually, there was a quote just this past week. Anybody watch House of Cards here? Yeah, a lot of House of Cards. I won't give you my Francis Underwood, you know, imitation, but it sounds something like this. But there was a little vignette on there. We binge watched it like a lot of you guys probably did, in which Doug Stemple, who's Underwood's henchman, was having a book read to him in the car. What book was it? Anybody remember? Tale of Two Cities. Very good. And if you know the first lines of Tale of Two Cities. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the epic of belief. It was the epic of incredulity. It was the season of light, it was the season of darkness, it was the spring of hope, and it was the winter of despair. And I think in many ways, as you think about some of those forces in the marketplace that Bill Clinton was talking about, and you think about what's going on with regards to technology deployment, that quote is really very apropos right now. We are caught between two worlds. And so on the one hand, there is enormous opportunity. You know, you have quotes like this from Gartner. You know, every budget is an IT budget, every company is an IT company, every business leader is becoming a digital leader. It's like, holy cow, you know, these are the golden times right now. You know, these are the times that you really want to be in the technology business and you really want to be in the SharePoint business, frankly. And as you think about this, and as we talk to people, and I'll share a little bit of my personal experience about this in a minute, in running a 42-person association in the content management arena. And feel free during all this presentation to tweet if you want. When I get the part that talks about what my experience is in content management as a business person in my organization, don't tweet that stuff, because it's bad enough that Nishan knows it, but I'm not sure I want the world to know it. So everything else you can tweet. But when you think about what goes on within the opportunities, I constantly, when we talk to end user organizations, I hear things like this. Our file servers are out of control. Nobody can find anything. I hear that information is leaking out of this organization. And to make it even worse, all of my systems were invented before the devices on which they are leaking were even invented. I hear people saying the volume of stuff is in the process of drowning us right now. They also, if they've kind of thought about it, it's also the velocity of that information. It's the variety of that information. I have people saying, you know, maximizing this SharePoint investment is a little different than we thought. I'd like to talk about that a little bit and some suggestions. When I talk to IT people, they hate people like me. And what I mean by that, I'll give you an example. Last night in my hotel room, we have a HubSpot implementation that we use for marketing automation, automating our outbound and inbound messages. I was trying last night to figure out how I link that HubSpot implementation to a product called Nimble, which is a socially based SaaS solution for CRM, and doing that without any IT people being involved at all. They hate people like me, because this is going on in every organization now, because what has happened is that the deck has changed. It used to be that IT held all those control cards. You don't hold those anymore. There's an awful lot that the business can do without any IT involvement, and we've got to figure out how we manage that. And then the last thing, which probably ties to me rummaging around trying to figure out how to marry HubSpot with Nimble when I should have been out having fun with Nishan, is that the C-suite is getting increasingly frustrated with the value that they get out of their technology spend. And we've got to figure out how we play into that arena. So it is the best of worlds, it is the worst of worlds, it is the best of times, it is the worst of times. And what I like to call this is welcome to the era of information chaos. It is a time that is kind of different than anything that I've ever really experienced before. Now, here's the part that I don't want you to tweet about. I want to give you just a little bit of a flavor for information management at the amongst the shoemaker's children, which is I may run a content management association. So think about this for a second. And my argument here when I talk about information chaos is if I am experiencing this in a 42-person organization at scale, people are experiencing this in Technicolor and in ways that they can't figure out how to get their arms around. And there is an enormous opportunity to help people solve this. So I have my file shares, like everybody else, and I still have my file shares. And believe it or not, I still haven't turned them into read-only. There's still people in my organization that use their little webinar file folder on my file shares. I have SharePoint 2010 on-prem, and about 3/4 of my organization uses that. I have Office 365 SharePoint 2013, and some of us use that, but we never really quite got around to transferring all the stuff from the file shares and from 2010 into 2013. Remember, 42-person organization. I have a lot of people that use Box. I like to deny it. There are probably people using Dropbox out there as well. I have people that when it comes to thinking about a highly collaborative document, in other words, something that multiple people are going to have to edit at the same time without a whole lot of, you know, security screens and everything else, you know, then we'll set up a Google Docs to do that. Then we're in Yammer. We love Yammer. Yammer up until now has had a very, very awkward search capability and file directory capability. I really enjoyed hearing the keynotes in terms of how that's all coming together in terms of the sharing of social signals and using social signals and fast technology to find things within a Yammer environment. But we have Yammer. We love it. We also have Link. We use Link for instant messaging and for conferencing. The only problem with instant messaging is that when I go to send somebody an instant message who's not online at Link at that particular moment, guess what? You can't send it to them. So I'll have a list of five people. It'll bounce back. Then I go and I send them an email, or I post it on Yammer, or I put, you know, on and on and on. So little 42-person organization, very rich technology tools at our disposal, very rich knowledge about how we should be using those tools, and yet we're at the cusp of needing to change this. And there's an awful lot of organizations that are like that right now, that are at scales that make this whole problem, you know, go into the stratosphere in terms of its complexity. So if it feels like you are alone in this, if that little story sounds somewhat familiar about information management in your organization, the data and my experience in talking to end users suggest that you're not alone. And again, if you're a partner, if you are somebody that sells solutions that are built on top of a SharePoint platform, you have enormous opportunities in helping people like me solve that problem right now, because the technology has turned the corner and is ready for prime time. It is ready for something that is much more than a file share replacement. But that requires a different kind of sell than we've sold before. So how do we wind up here? You know, how do we wind up at this crazy place that we are right now? And we all know this, and I won't spend a whole lot of time on it, but I think it's important for each of you within your organizations, as you tell this story, as you sell solutions, as you talk about why you need to change things, that there is a common narrative that you refer back to. And I would just like to offer one as a way of thinking about technologies in your organization. So we wound up here, I think, because of three massive disruptors out there. And the first is consumerization. And there's a lot of articles about consumerization. You see a lot of conversations about consumerization. There's probably a hashtag that has lots of tweets about consumerization. But the core thing is that it essentially changes what users expect from applications. It changes how we deliver them. And it changes the power that individual end users have to short circuit and end run their own IT departments. And so when you think about what's brought this about, there's a great book, if you haven't read it, by James McGivney from Forrester, called Digital Disruption. And what James talks about are the four drivers of consumerization. Now, these are usually thought of in the consumer vein rather than the enterprise vein. But the reality is that as these four forces, the prevalence of computers, the ubiquity of internet connectivity, the standardization of programming languages and SDKs, and a friction-free platform for making money, as those sweep through the consumer realm, you know, and lead to hundreds of thousands of applications, you know, available on the iStore, available at the Google Play Store, or any of the other places that you can find these things, it bleeds over into the enterprise. And it bleeds over into the enterprise big time. Now, the challenge here, and this is particularly a challenge for people in the community that I represent, is that we have always thought that we could control all this stuff. And in reality, probably for 10, 15, 20 years, we probably could. You know, when central IT casting determined that you could have any laptop you wanted, so long as it was a Dell Latitude, and that you could have any phone that you wanted, so long as it was a BlackBerry, there was some chance that we could tell people that worked for us, here is your device. They would be grateful for the device, and they would say, and they would agree to only use it for business purposes. Well, you know, that cow's out of the barn or horse out of the barn, whatever the metaphor is. We're past that right now. And I still run into people in my community that think that we can control information in the same way that we used to control it. And I'll give you an example of this end-run ability and some of the consequences consumerization has. I was talking to a company about 6 months ago, and I get, since I'm president of AIM, I get a lot of folks talking to me about, you know, I want to tell you about the latest technology that we're up to, so in case anybody calls, that you can essentially tell them what we're up to and that kind of thing. I said, fine. So we had a nice presentation. They gave a PowerPoint presentation. I said, could I have a copy of the PowerPoint when we're all done? They said, yeah, sure. They said, it's a big file, so we'll send you a link to a file sharing service that will remain nameless that we use for this purpose. I said, fine, that'd be great. I go back about a half hour later, I check my email. Lo and behold, that email is there. It's got a link. I click on the link, and I am not at a PowerPoint. I am at the top level file directory for all of their corporate assets on an unsecured file sharing service. And I'm looking at folders like intellectual property, executive compensation, performance reviews, stuff like that. And the reason I mention that is not to pick on any particular vendor, but to understand that the mere extrapolation of consumer services into the enterprise, you can't just do that. But on the other hand, you can't ignore that either. And that's why a lot of the discussions that have been going on in the last couple of days with regards to the cloud and Office 365 and all those things that essentially take advantage of everything that we've had in the consumer realm becomes so important, because if we don't get ahead of that curve, our end users will end run us around the curve at our peril from the point of view of information assets. Second big disruptor is old news to many of you. It's been old news. We've been talking about it at the keynotes on Monday. But I think the interesting thing here is not so much cloud and not so much mobile on their own, but it's the way that they intersect and the steroid effect that has when they do intersect, because it changes so many things in the intersection. And if you think about it, just a couple of data points to illustrate that. You know, one from Portio Research, you know, this question of the ubiquitousness of apps in the consumer sector. And what does that mean in terms of how we deploy enterprise solutions moving forward? This one on the lower left from a meeting that we had at AIM, actually. In 45 seconds, you can go from never having heard a song to owning it. The collapse of cycle times that occurs as a result of the combination of cloud and mobile from a business perspective has fundamental implications in terms of speed and velocity of the business itself. You know, this question up here at the top, Joe McKendrick from Forbes, I love the quote at the end here when he talks about the cloud and he talks about the impact that it has on cost savings and speedier deployment. And his real point, which is really underlying, I think, the entire Microsoft message about the cloud, is that it not only changes those things, but it changes the nature of how the business thinks about itself and about the technology solutions it deploys to drive the business. And that's a cultural change that we are just on the cusp of right now. There's a lot of folks here that probably still aren't comfortable with cloud-based repositories for mission-critical information in your organizations. You're not alone. I'll give you some data on that in a second. But it's changing, and it's changing big time. And then the third thing I wanted to touch on.